This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by SendPro from Pitney Bowes. SendPro has three times the features of Stamps.com at one-third the price. Visit pb.com/TMS to learn more and try it for free for 90 days. After that, you'll get SendPro for only $5 a month. That's pb.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, sushi prequels again.
Who is Sammy Kershaw?
Well, I'll tell you. Finally, no more Y2K.
Man gets a $100 million water bill.
Seems like a great deal. How to clear out a Walgreens.
Hamburger gets you in tennis trouble.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Playing tag with the waves. A refreshing way to take a walk at the beach. How can you add to it? With a menthol cigarette.
Warning.
The Morning Stream. That's my safety word.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is Monday, June the 19th, 2017. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ebbett. Hi. Good morning.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
How are you? What's going on?
I'm actually feeling really good. I got this weekend and this morning, I got all of the video rounds done for Frog Pants All-Stars. Those are probably the things that take the most time. Mm. There's a lot of editing and audio work and stuff like that. And I'm happy to say that... it's all finished.
That's awesome. You're way ahead of me then, because I'm not near done. I got a lot done this weekend, but not near enough to say that I'm ready. But I got, we're getting there. We'll make it. We'll make it happen.
Oh yeah.
I'll tell you what though. Yesterday was a real bummer, and I'm just gonna complain. Uh-huh. Do a little bit of complaining. You guys ready? Here goes.
Yeah, please do.
All right. Yesterday, get up. It's like, I don't know, 6, and it seems like it's gonna be a fine day. Moving about, doing stuff. It's Father's Day. Kids brought me breakfast in bed. That was nice. Mm-hmm. Just sort of getting some nice treatment there. Somebody got me a t-shirt. They gave me this shirt, which is cool, but I don't want to sit up to show you.
A very cool shirt.
It's pretty cool, but the reason I can't really show it off very well is because, and I'll explain. So, if I see little ginger today, it's because, for whatever reason, some kind of new pollen entered the breathosphere for me. Mm. I don't know from what plant, I don't know from what planet, I don't know what this was, but I'm usually like an every other year guy on like pollen allergy type stuff, and I don't usually get it too bad, but yesterday, I can't even explain how hideous it got, and it started at about 8 o'clock yesterday morning, and as the day progressed, by last night, I was having sneezing fits of like 6 or 7 sneezes in a row. Just horrible, like just can't breathe. My eyes are all red and puffy. There's something in the air. Don't know what it is, but it's like the worst. And it just got worse and worse as the day went on. I mean, it got so bad at one point, Kim's like, I may take you to the doctor.
Oh, geez.
She's like,
really?
You're like puffed up and red and messed up. We should go in. I'm like, no.
you are messed up.
Yeah, you're all messed up. And I was thinking, no, I'm not going to the doctor for this. It's just a bunch of, it's just pollen or whatever. And so I took... what do you call it?
Benadryl?
No, what's the kind you take that doesn't make you drowsy? It's Claritin there.
Claritin
usually works for me. Nope, didn't do jack. Mm. Now, the thing with Claritin is if you take one of those, you're not supposed to take another kind for a while because it can mess you up. So I didn't take that. So then last night, right before bed, I took 2 Benadryl, and thankfully that kind of did it for the night, made me sleep. Here's the problem, though. I wake up this morning... and my back is completely jacked up. Why? Because I sneezed it all out of place.
Oh, my God. Really? That frequent that you're...
I could tell last night I was sneezing so hard that I was like really jerking my neck and my back. And every time it happened, I go, I'm going to feel that later. Sure enough, this morning, I have just got like the worst, like I can't turn my head all the way to the right.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so it's all old man complaint, but damn it. I don't need this right now. I don't need this distraction. What is in the air? Like, what could possibly be out there?
Right.
One day, it's suddenly on a Sunday, it's everywhere. Like, that's the part I don't understand. Why did a plant go and just let its...
it's a little green mist coming out of the top of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, suddenly just spewed all of its stuff out, and I'm supposed to go back onto the Enterprise, and everyone starts going crazy? Like, what kind of weird Star Trek plot am I in? I don't know, but I'm annoyed.
Let me tell you, does this say... Oh, this is like... All right, the 5-day allergy forecast for Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
Pollen.com is the place you can go for that. But here's what it doesn't say. I mean, it just says that, you know, today is a 6.4 and tomorrow is a 6.6. It doesn't break down like, well, trees are high, pollen is low, blah, blah, blah. So that's not a good sight. But no. Let's see if there's...
What do they do this for? Oh, asthma-related stuff. Okay, here we go. I found one. Yeah. Pollen.com has one.
Yeah, that's where I just was. So.
Oh, you were there.
But
okay.
This one does break down. So it says currently the top allergens are grasses, quinopods, and ragweed.
I don't know which of those I have. Quinopod? What the hell is that?
Quinopods.
That's where you you put down money and hope for the best on your gambling in Keno? I don't know.
That's right, yes.
I forgot about it. What is Keno again?
Keno's where you... you mean in gambling?
Yeah.
Keno's where you basically pick a set of numbers, and while you're sitting in the diner, there's... It's like the only thing that never really seems to get upgraded in the casino. A big white, almost like a bingo display thing, lights up with the numbers that have been picked.
Oh.
And the more numbers you pick... the more chance you have to win, but the lower your payoff. So like if you say, I'm just going to do 8 numbers, all 8 of those numbers hit, you get like $10,000. But if you say, I'm going to pick 16 numbers and 8 of those hit, then all of a sudden your drop down is more like $100.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So yeah, I've never understood. I just knew there was a Keno area and that's all I ever knew. Didn't know what they
actually did. I think it's either Keno or that giant Wheel of Fortune that has like the dollars laminated into the wheel itself.
Oh, right. I like those.
Those are, I think, the two worst odds for players in the casino.
Why would you go there? Like, why? Would you know that as a gambler? And would you just think, man, I'm so hot today, I'm going to go get Keno and win? Is it the best payout?
I think people do it because it's in the diner and like, I'm getting the shakes because I haven't gambled in 3 minutes. What can I do while I eat my all-you-can-eat buffet?
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, they do that to make it convenient. If they had, and here's my prediction: in 10 years, we'll actually see tables, maybe even with like Microsoft Surface technology or something, but tables in the buffets, in the restaurants, where while you're eating, you can be gambling.
Oh, I'd be shocked if they didn't. I'd be shocked.
They already have something like that in the bars, where it's like a sit-down table with but it's like a cocktail table, almost like your old video game tables.
Oh, we saw it in MGM
that night.
We saw it
when we were out there, right?
Yeah, it didn't work. It threw an error. When
blue screen of death on it.
Yeah,
but
it was fine. No, I think you're totally right. Like, that's how you do this. Now, the next step of gambling is to make it everywhere. You know,
right?
Put holograms in front of people.
Like, eating at the buffet isn't a gamble in and of itself.
No kidding. You're going home with some seafood-borne hoo-ha.
So maybe quinopods are your thing.
Well,
or ragweed.
It says here it's a subfamily of the flowering plant family Erythemus cacacia.
Oh, that's it. Yes, the Erythemus cacacia.
Yeah, APG3 system, which is largely based on molecular phenogenity, which include the following.
It's almost like I'm talking to Neil deGrasse Tyson right here with his
It's really I know, I've really got it going on. If you guys need to sup at my info feet, let me know. Food species comprise spinach. Oh, interesting. Good King Henry. I don't know what that is.
Oh, neither.
Quinopodium species, quinoa, canwa, and fat hen.
I'm sure that's it.
What's fat hen? Anyway. So it's apparently a food thing, too. So I don't know, dude. All I know is it's just a mess. And you know what? This morning, I feel like I'm on pins and needles because I'm doing okay here. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a little nasal spray cleaner out deal.
Good.
I took that Benadryl last night, which not only knocked me out, but also seemed to kill it. I don't want to take more of it during the day or I'll be unproductive in the worst possible way because that stuff really puts me down. So I'm just, you know, I feel like I don't want to I shouldn't go outside or something.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, and AccuWeather.com also confirms that ragweed pollen is very, well, it's high right now. It's not very high or extreme, but it's very high, or it's high.
So do they say what ragweed, what you should fight ragweed pollen with?
No, they don't. Let's see. This will be educational for our listeners.
Best medication for ragweed allergy.
Are you on MD? Tell me you're on WebMD.
No, I could be, though. Let's see. Right now, just Google. It does say that Benadryl is good, but I don't want to take that again. Nasal stuff is good. So Flonase and Nasonex. What do I have here? Mine is called X-Clear. And next year, it'll be X-Clear X, and it'll cost me $500. So there's that. Ragweed pollen season allergies. Oh, WebMD. I could. Listen, WebMD's here to scare us all. Let's see what they say.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's
sneezing, sniffing, nasal congestion, sneezing. Where are we? Sleep disruption, red puffy eyes, itchy throat. This is totally me.
Mm-hmm.
Can I avoid it? The reality is there's no corner of the country where there is no ragweed pollen. Oh, that's really comforting. Thanks, WebMD.
That's how you combat it.
Yeah.
Go away from it.
Go away. But good luck.
Stay indoors between 10 and 4 is recommended.
Really? I can't do that. I can't stay indoors from 10 to 4. What am I, a hermit?
The 10 to 4, that's 6 hours. You can go out in the morning. I mean, we're doing TMS from 10 to 12 anyway. That covers 2 of those hours.
Yeah, I guess that's true. 4? I don't know. It feels like it's like house arrest.
Change your clothes after spending time outdoors. Keep the windows of your car closed and the air conditioner on. Clean the filters every 3 months. Shower before bed to remove pollen. That's good.
Oh, all right.
Try nasal irrigation. I know you're afraid of brain worms, but
I have that right here. This is how I'm irrigating my nasal. Oh, you mean
that's
from like
not irrigating? That's
you mean like the neti pot?
Like the neti pot or those? They've got those ball or the ones with the bulbs that you squeeze into your nose too. That are not like neti pot, where it's you just get some distilled water.
Yeah, don't do the tap water.
Don't do tap, no.
Yeah, especially if you're in like Flint, Michigan, man. Oh my gosh, can you imagine what you're putting in your head? Yeah, yeah. I don't want to do that. I mean, I hate those, but I'll do it if I have to. Like, I've never had it like this. That's all. That's the weird bit. As I've, a little hay fever here and there, no big deal. Ever since I was a kid. Oh, what's the matter? Oh, I don't know. There must be some something in the air. Oh, okay, no big deal. Yesterday, I was nearly useless. It was awful. Happy Father's Day to me, ragweed.
Hopefully, it's not worse in the mountains, right?
It should be okay. I mean, every time I've been up there, even on years where we had, like in 2013, there were some pretty good allergies down in the valley, and it would be less up there. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried. It's fine. It's just annoying. I'm just annoyed. Okay, you know that sushi place I told you about that plays the prequels all day? I thought maybe it was just that day we were there, and it was like, oh, okay, well, it's a one-off. They just happened to be playing the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah.
Nope, we were there yesterday. Kids took me there for sushi for Dad Day, Father's Day. And sure enough, they are playing Episode 1. We were there just in time for the pod races.
It's funny that it's always Episode 1. Like, it's not even the other prequels, right?
Yeah, as far as I know, they've got one on repeat. And there was a lot of Roger Dodgers and, Sebulbada or whatever his name is. And
Wizard!
And they had, Jake Lloyd in the races, and I forgot how stupid the little maintenance robots were, and, anyway.
The droids right there were okay.
They're obnoxious. Once you go back, watch that, and you'll go, oh, we are better.
Like, they're way more slapsticky than I remember, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're also really stiffly animated. They're kind of bad. Yeah. But that's just, I don't get it. It's a very Japanese-owned restaurant. Everybody there has a very thick, hard to understand accent, so they're very authentic.
So do most of the stereotype characters in Episode 1. So perfect.
Yeah, as it turns out, so do they.
You want to take he's my property. You cannot take Anakin a Skywalker.
No, they sound more
try the meatballs. It's much more spicy.
They sound more like the
Russian all of a sudden.
It's the Trade Commission guys. They sound like the what were they called? Right.
The
those were stereotype Japanese guys.
Yeah, it's
Maybe that's why they're into it. I don't know.
Boon Tungle or something.
Yeah. Yes, Boon Tungle. Old Boon Tungle doing his business.
Boon Tungle.
Anyway, it's a piece of poo, and I don't know why they play it there, and I don't understand why they love
it. Well, no, we know it's Trade Federation, but what were those aliens called? The Trade Federation guys.
I don't know. Do they? Yeah. I only knew them as Trade Federation. I assume that meant they were all like that, but I assume they were multi-race organization. I don't know.
Nemoidians. Nemoidians, really? I thought those were, okay.
Nemoidians, is that it?
Nemoidians, yeah, that's right. I was thinking the Nemoidians were the aliens on Kamino that were doing the cloning, but that is right, Nemoidians.
Ah, their favorite car isn't.
Maybe those are Kaminans.
Yeah, El Camino. Kaminans and El Caminos. So here's the other thing I noticed during that. They play nonstop K-pop though while they're watching it, so it's not, you don't get the audio. Oh, cool. There's no audio at all. It's just all like whatever playing. It's weird. It's weird.
It's awesome. So there was a great and it might still be there. There's a great all you can eat sushi place in Back to Vegas, but that James and Svet took us to.
Yeah.
And nothing but K-pop music videos on all the TVs, which is a blast. I'd much rather watch that in episode one. Thank you very much. But,
yeah, no kidding.
And I Am Sci-Fi, was it maybe J-pop? No, it was definitely K-pop. Like, yeah. You can tell.
It was true here, too. It was K-pop. It wasn't J-pop. And I don't understand why, because, again, everybody there is Japanese. They're watching episode one and playing Korean pop music.
Maybe not. Maybe some of the employees are Korean, and they're the ones who have the remote control.
Well, maybe, except, I don't know, having grown up with three Koreans, I have this weird ability to... When you put me in a crowd of Asians, I can identify the differences. I can say,
okay. See,
he's
I'm
Korean, he's Indonesian. I can just totally do it. And it's weird power to have, because it almost feels weirdly racist that I can pick out who's who in those groups. But to Brian, they all look the same. Who's the racist now? anyway, so that was that. Hey, so you're playing Horizon Zero Dawn, I hear.
I am. I played a little bit of it. One of my Father's Day presents was Tina and Tristan GTFO, so I can play some video games.
Yeah, I like that.
Pretty good. I'm kidding. They didn't. But Tina sat there and read a book while I played for a while. It's such a fun game and such a different style of game, you know, as a hunter of these mechanical objects. I'm still very early in the game, but I'm very glad that I unwrapped it and took off the plastic.
The plants no longer wrapped in plastic, this is one down and like 30 other plastic wrapped.
No,
games.
I don't have any other plastic wrapped games.
Oh well,
but I did decide that I'm bored with Prey, so I think I'm gonna sell that one.
Oh man, bummer.
Yeah.
Bored Prey. With Prey.
Huh?
I said bored with Prey. That's too bad.
Did you like Prey?
I didn't play it. I played I played the last Prey game. Haven't played this new one. Mm. So I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, my biggest problem these days is too many games, not enough time. But
right.
My goal is after Nerdtacular, I'm going to settle down with a few that I have not played very much and really play them.
It does feel like this year is divided in half, right? Pre-Nerdtacular, post-Nerdtacular. Almost, you know what? And it even works out perfectly. Six months. Pre-Nerdtacular, post-Nerdtacular.
Yeah, that's how I feel every year. It always feels like it's this big two halves of a weird hole with a weird dividing line in the middle. And then you went on some gnarly bike ride. I'm impressed. 24 miles, it says here? Jeez,
24 miles. Went yesterday. Again, like a little Father's Day morning ride. Solo, listened to the Beatles' Everest, which is a fan-made compilation of songs that each of the individual Beatles did after the breakup of the Beatles.
Oh.
But you can listen to it almost as the Beatles album that never was, that followed up Abbey Road, or Let It Be. Abbey Road. It depends on which one you want to say was recorded first, released first, blah, blah, blah. But it's a really, really cool collection, because it's got your John Lennon Isolation and Instant Karma and stuff like that, and some George Harrison solo tracks from All Things Must Pass, some Paul McCartney, early Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney stuff from the Ram On album.
Mm. Is the You've Got My Mind Set on You on that?
No, okay. No, that's way too late for that.
All right.
there was a great George Harrison album that came out, I think it might have even... No, I guess it did come out after the release of Let It Be. It's called All Things Must Pass. And if you ever want to reestablish George Harrison as the dynamic but yet quiet member of the Beatles that he was. You should listen to that and forget all about Got My Mind Set on You.
Oh, good, because I am always looking for reasons to get that out of my head. Yeah. I'd like that permanently removed. Thank you very much. Well, that's great. I should check that out. Sounds good.
So 24 miles, had the Pokemon gacha thing on my wrist the whole time. 126 Pokemon I caught during that 2-hour ride.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
That is many. That is all the Pokemon.
Many, many. It is all the Pokemon. I caught all the Pokemon.
Yep.
You guys can quit playing.
Yep. Game over.
They actually just announced this morning the whole rework of the gym system. So there are going to be raids. There's a whole new gym battle system coming up at the end of this month or beginning of next.
Yeah. People go to the gym and then fight it out with their buddies, I guess, or something. Or do you all group? Is it co-op? Like, it sounds like
for the raid, it's all co-op. And you get timers of all the gyms near you saying, all right, this raid is going to be starting in 6 hours if you want to do that one, or this one's in 8 hours or whatever. And you go there to that gym.
Yeah.
And many of you battle a Pokemon that's got like 24,000 CP.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, I forgot to report back to you. I downloaded that Garfield game.
How was it?
Oh, it's just a shit piece of
janky,
shit.
Yeah. As crappy as it sounds?
It's real bad. It's not good. I mean, they have it's almost like they just lifted the pattern in terms of like, here's a big grid and it's the map of your streets and here's a little orange cat, dude, and you're walking around and the things you find are these, for whatever reason, they're coins. And when you click on a coin, it goes into battle mode or capture mode, and it's just Garfield sitting in front of his bowl. Ugh. And then you've got to flick the chunk of lasagna into his bowl. So you're flicking this lasagna across the thing, trying to land it in the bowl. And if it gets in the bowl, he's super stoked, and he gives you a chest, and it has some money in it. Or if you miss, he just gives up and leaves. It's bad.
That sounds so horrible.
It's bad. So at the end,
they just said, as long as we give something that kind of looks like Pokemon Go, people will get it and they'll give us lots of money.
Yeah, that's how it feels. It's not good. Yeah. It's really bad.
Just come back
bad.
To Pokemon Go and play that, Scott. There's a whole bunch of, you haven't even probably gotten any of the Gen 2 stuff. And
I should probably come back. I don't know.
There's raiding. There's new gym systems. There's, you know, it's becoming a much more. Well, I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's becoming a much more varied and robust game. Like, there's more stuff to do than just, oh, great, another Pidgey. Swipe.
Yeah. It's got to be I got to do the thing, though, your little clicker. You have to do that.
Yeah, got to get the clicker.
Yeah, got to get the clicker. All right. Speaking of getting the clicker.
Yeah.
We're going to get Daryl.
Well, hold on. You mentioned Sammy Kershaw.
Oh, I forgot to say this. Do you remember him? Do you remember Sammy Kershaw?
Yeah, I remember Sammy Kershaw, country singer. I've got a few Sammy Kershaw covers in my library. Like, he covers I Know a Little by Lynyrd Skynyrd and Fire and Rain by James Taylor.
Yeah, he was
no relation to Nick.
No, none at all. In fact, I keep
Wouldn't
calling him.
Would it be good if I sang country?
I thought of Nick Kershaw all weekend every time I thought of this guy's name. But anyway, he came and performed here at this local outdoor theater thing we have near us. And we went to it. And I was looking at pictures on the internet. I'm like, who is Sammy Kershaw? And every picture I saw looked like it was fairly new, and he looked like he was in his 20s.
What?
And I thought,
really?
Yeah, and I thought, oh, okay, it's a young guy. Kids are all into him or something.
It's a curious case of Sammy Kershaw.
Yeah. And I get over there. He walks out on stage, and he's in his 60s.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got that messed up. But anyway, they had a big tour bus, and they were awesome. Those guys were freaking great. It was mostly like Cajun kind of southern Cajun kind of stuff, and I was really surprised. So I was just curious if anybody in our audience remembers. I guess in the early 90s he had a couple of hits on the country charts,
Think she's beautiful. I'm looking at Sammy Kershaw photos right now on Google, and dude looks like a like what Bobby Brady should have, or not Bobby, but Peter Brady should have grown up to look like.
Yeah, he looks like an older Peter. That's really astute, actually. A lot of people on the internet were like, yeah, that's Sammy Kershaw. I should really be into him. I hope his liver's still intact, that kind of stuff. And he was fine. That guy still rocked it, and it was interesting to listen to. And he also had a keyboard, or what do you call the steel guitar guys that lay it out flat?
Oh, yeah, like a
what's that called?
Pedal guitar? No, what is that called? But yeah, where they do slide guitar stuff.
Yeah, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
The guy running that thing, I swear to you, was the spitting image of current day Tom Petty. He looked like Tom Petty up there. It was freaking me out. to watch that, see that guy and not picture Tom Petty. He was totally Tom Petty. Yeah. In fact, I'm convinced
people
Tom
are
Petty.
Confirming pedal steel. So
pedal steel?
My pedal guitar and steel guitar and slide guitar. Amalgamate all that into one thing and that's the right thing.
All right. It was interesting. I can't believe I actually liked it. I'm surprised I liked it. So Sammy Kershaw, still kicking it, had a big tour bus. He had to, after that show, had to drive 800 miles to the next destination. Seems like that guy's still working, man. Making it happen. The whole reason I brought this up is it taught me something about people. He said during this thing, he made some comment like, I love to go hunting and fishing, and I think that one of the greatest rights we have as Americans is the right to hold this gun. And everybody, and a bunch of people there went, woo! And I went, all right, well, it's interesting because I'm in that territory, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing the exuberance for it, and it can't be denied. Like, that, there are people mm-hmm. who see that as really, really, really important. And I guess I came away from it going, this can't just be snooty tech internet guy going, guns, brah, you know, like it can't be just that. It has to be more than that. It has to be a deeper conversation. Some of these people talk, I mean, the way that they were swooning about gun rights at this concert was genuine. And just because my perspective is on it is slightly different. Actually, I'm more of a middle of the road. I think it's a good right to have, but I don't like guns.
I think exactly. I think we're both in the kind of the same camp where I'm fine with people owning guns. I just think there should be, I think that not everybody should just be able to walk into a store and buy a gun. There should be background checks.
Yeah, it should be harder to get guns. That psycho who shot up the baseball practice thing got them legally. It just bugs me that he could do that. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know. Maybe there's no way to differentiate that guy from anyone else, but that sort of stuff.
Somebody who gives, who does have a clear background, gets the guns and gives them to somebody who doesn't have a clear background.
Yeah, but you could see it would be like this. It's like, what if somebody told us that video games are terrible and they should be abolished? I'm not saying this is an exact comparison, but if somebody told me that, I would push back.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a gun enthusiast who's a good, law-abiding, great, otherwise citizen in every way, and is being told that you have to take away their favorite thing they have, like they love to go shoot skeet or they love to go hunting or they love whatever, and you telling them, hey, you have to give those up. Why? Well, because all these people say you do, because of a few people who are lame. I understand what they're saying. I get it. All right. I understand it. It can't just be black and white. It can't just be guns are killing everybody. Yeehaw.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It has to be a nuanced conversation.
It has to be analyzed a little bit more closely.
So I came to that conclusion. So I learned a little something at the Sammy Kershaw show, as you do when you go to see a Sammy Kershaw concert. And he also sang a lot about drinking and women, which I enjoyed as well. But none of that matters because this is what we're doing now. Daryl Skills on the line. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
We're here to stump you. We're here to throw a question at your face, and then you have to decide.
Can I tell you what Stump Daryl is brought to you by, if you don't mind?
Of course, of course.
Brought to you by the Season 2 finale of Soundography, featuring me and Hammond Chamberlain, just posted this morning the 34th episode of Soundography, the second season finale. The Deer Hunter is the name of the band we looked at, kind of appropriate to this gun chat. But Deer Hunter is a really cool rock band that is thematic and has released a lot of concept albums. And Hammond and I both really, really enjoyed it. So check it out. That's over there at soundography.com.
Very nice. Hey, look what my wife gave me. I don't know if you can see this.
It's a fidget spinner?
It's a fidget spinner, but here's the deal. It's made out of steel, so it's like heavy.
Oh, that's way cool.
Yeah, and it's like these little...
It's like a little asterisk.
Yeah, these little knobbies on the side, they come off, so you can
take
those off and then have an unbalanced experience. anyway, it's really awesome. Really cool. I like it because it's heavy duty. It feels like I could spin this for days, and I can't believe I care about this at all, but I do. Anyway, Daryl, how are you with the spinners? You got kids? Are they all into the spinners like the rest of the world?
Well, the little one is.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's fast.
Yeah, it's a fast spinner. I like it a lot, and I'm going to put it right here. Although I can't spin it on the table because you can hear it. Listen. Can you hear that?
No.
Oh, maybe it's not.
But you got the music on, so maybe that's affecting
it. Yeah,
that
totally could.
But anyway. If somebody tried to take a fidget spinner on an airplane this weekend that was called Satan's Fidget Spinner, and it looks like a Chinese star. Like, it even the points on it look super duper sharp. So it's kind of funny. It's like, great, that's a great idea. Let's bring that on.
I saw that. That's right. It was like it looked like a ninja star. Like, it had pointy edges and everything. Yeah, exactly. What are they thinking? I mean, it's cool. That's a cool design, but don't take it on a plane, you dipshit.
Like, of course it looks like it, could cut through your finger if you accidentally got it too close to the edge of the fidget spinner.
Which nobody wants.
Nobody wants that.
Daryl, let's get to adding somebody here to this call and see if they can be stumped properly. We have a bunch of people in here. Let's see. Let's go with, I'm just going to grab a rando here.
Rando Grabo.
How about
Rando Calrissian?
This person is called, this person is called 9 of 12. 9 of 12.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You have won today's, well, you haven't won anything yet, but.
you're not going to assimilate us, are you?
No, don't assimilate us. Tell us where your name came from. Is it a Star Trek reference?
My name is September. I'm one of the hosts of Geek Grills.
Nine
of 12 is handy Borg name when your name is September.
Oh, all right. Well, I like September. It reminds me of that song, that September song. What's that song, man?
The song called September by Earth, Wind, and Fire?
That's the one. I like that song a lot.
That cover, the mashup Brian played last week. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It was in there. You're right.
Yeah, that's the Crazy Train September, yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on being random. It's funny to watch the call waiting room, everyone flee it as soon as I pull somebody out. They're all running like crazy. Anyway, hey, let's get to it here. September, let's play a game. We're gonna have Brian explain the rules. Brian, how does it work?
That's right. September, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. He's going to give his best guess. And but it may be close, but it'll probably be wrong. Then we're going to turn to you and we're going to ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win a prize package that includes this really cool complications hat from the staff from the art department of Complications, which I believe is a TV show, a Masters of the Universe Man at Arms action figure mint on card. But not the original one, and a really cool Stranger Things print by Barrett Biggers.
Oh, Barrett, old Barrett Biggers.
Old Barrett Biggers, who's a very talented artist and just in time for season 2 of Stranger Things.
Nice, excellent. That's a nice prize package. Gorgeous. Yeah, it sounds all right.
Yes. Your category today is garbage.
Oh, garbage. The band, I assume.
The band, I don't know, we're just going to ask her questions about trash, I don't know.
Great. Here's your question then. I'm going to ask you, and Daryl, I'm asking you really, because you've got to come up with this number. Yeah. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. I hope it's Oscar the Grouch trivia.
I wish it was. It's not, sadly.
I love trash!
garbage. Oh, how many people didn't know that, or did know when they were a kid, all right? Not now, because we've seen things that we make it obvious, but when you were a kid, did you know the Oscar the Grouch and Big Bird were the same dude? Same actor?
I didn't know that. They're the same?
No. How can you walk around and be in a garbage can at the same time?
I saw the two of them talking to each other. How is it possible?
They're the same actor. It's what's his name, who was in that documentary about being Big Bird. I can't think of his name now. That guy. He had kind of a lady name. I can't remember. Anyway, it totally blew my mind. I was like, what?
Carol Spinney is, okay.
Carol Spinney was both. Now, there may have been times
her
where
middle name is Fidget.
Somebody else may have been in the suit or something, and then he had a conversation with himself or something, but anyway,
Wow. No, I had no idea. That's crazy.
Yeah, look, I've blown everyone's mind today. Great. All right, Garbage came out with their This Is the Noise That Keeps Me Away book. I didn't know about this. They have a book?
Yeah. He just got, Iceworm just got his copy and sent me a text with it. It's really, really cool looking.
Does he sit in the dark naked reading it? I mean, what's he doing with this?
Oh, book? Geez,
well,
Louise.
I'm just saying, he's really into it.
What are you doing?
He's so into garbage that, I picture him getting really into it, if you know what I mean. In one section of
Do you sit in the dark naked and read Trump's tweets?
No. Okay. That's not a thing I like, though. I hate Trump tweets. I want to sit in the dark. No, if it was like the Mad Max book Daryl sent me, maybe.
Okay, good point.
Might do that. All right. In one section of the book, their audio engineer says he crashed Pro Tools by putting too many crossfades into a song. This limit has since been removed. What was the limit on crossfades in this older version of Pro Tools? And Daryl, here, I'll give you an example, or I'll give you a range, okay? It is somewhere between 20,000 and 80,000 limits on crossfades.
That's... Leave garbage at home, ice farm.
Look, he loves it. He loves it.
Really, this isn't even a question about garbage. This is a question about Pro Tools. So
yeah, it's a question about Pro Tools.
So there's that.
Yep. That's better.
Yep. Pro Tools, a highly popular music production utility application program.
Okay, I'm going to choose the scientific answer.
Sure, I like those.
Okay.
64K.
Oh.
64K.
All right. 64,000 would be your answer. All right. You want to go even with that, or you want to add any numbers to that, or are you good?
I think... Well, wait a minute. I probably should. Let's see.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying, you know, I just want to make sure.
The answer isn't whether you should or could. Oh, never mind.
It's the difference between may and can.
Thank you.
You can go to the bathroom, but you may not.
Between May and June.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the month where we started asking you this question.
Yep.
Okay, let's just stay with the 64,000.
All right. May and June sound like strippers. That's what they sound like to me. The difference between May and June is May is up next. All right. Let's see.
No, September's up next.
Oh, that's right. You know, it's amazing how many months are make great names for especially girls. And I don't know why I've never met an August or a February person. But I think everyone else. I knew somebody named March, and I knew somebody named January.
Now, January Jones.
Yeah, you know, January Jones.
Augustus Gloop.
April, you're on deck. Or April, you're on the main stage.
Yeah, main stage.
May and June, you're on deck.
Yep. Give it up for April, everybody. April. All right, Brian, is that right? That number 46 or 30, what'd you say? 64K.
64,000. 64K.
Yeah.
64K is incorrect. September is the correct answer, higher or lower than 64K.
Although I love the idea of turning it into the $64,000 question, I think it's under.
Under 64,000. K or no, 64K is 64,000.
I think if I were programming it, I would probably put it as something even like 50,000, thinking they'll never use more than that.
Right. Nobody will ever use that. And right, sure.
Daryl's thinking of the, what, like the 24, 64, 128, 256.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I don't know if that limit would be there. Like it would have to be in almost, well, whatever. Let's find out if you're right. That's what I'm going to try to do now. Did you win? Oh no! It's not lower. It's 65,536 is the correct answer. Oh wow. Man, September! You get to try again in a couple of weeks. So don't go anywhere. Come back for us, will
That's
you?
Right.
Daryl is. You were close though. It's 65,536 crossfades. The engineer told the people at Pro Tools about this, and they removed the limitation. There's a screenshot from the book for some reason that Mike shared with us. I'm telling you, if that's not showing that Mike is the most into garbage person in the history of the world, then I don't know what does. Oh yeah, there it is. Sorry, a system error occurred. Wow. Why would you need so many crossfades? That's a lot of crossfades, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah,
well, I think when you're doing multi-track stuff, so even that, I mean, you've probably got 50 or 100 different instruments, different individual tracks that the instruments are all on, and vocals and stuff like that, backing vocals. 65,536, by the way, is 2 to the 16th power.
Oh.
If you're wondering where that number comes from, that is actually...
It was a math thing.
There actually is a reason for that number.
Hmm. All right. I'm trying to tell what version of the Mac this is. That's old. Look at the bomb on there. That's got to be like System 7. Anyway, yeah.
How many crossfades is that per second?
hold on a second. Wordcrusher is bringing up a very good point, because you know how 1 megabyte isn't exactly 1,000, it's 1,024?
Yeah.
Yeah.
64K is 65,536.
Oh, are you kidding me? Is that real? Is
so
that true?
Daryl, wow. So Daryl was exactly right, and I think we need to get 9 of 12 back on and award her the prize.
I think she should win. She's not there anymore. But
tell you what, if you're still listening to the sound of our voices, September, please send me an email. You won. So did Daryl. Freaking hell of a job, Daryl. Nice job.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, she's out of there. Yeah, man, I don't even know what to say about this. I feel like she should absolutely win. So send Brian at coverville@gmail.com an email, and he'll send you these prizes, because you win, because Daryl got it right. We just didn't know it.
Daryl got it exactly right. Holy mackerel.
I didn't know that's how that worked. Is that how it always works? Because you're right.
Yeah, because K is 1,024.
Oh, that's right.
Not really truly 1,000. Well, in computer, binary.
I knew 64K was not exactly that, but I couldn't remember what it was.
So 64K is exactly 65,536.
Yes.
So they literally adhered to the... Oh my gosh, Daryl, twice?
Which is, I think, why that number is there. Like, why that is... Why Pro Tools had that number in. Not because they thought, well, I think if we give them 65,535, we're going to be shortchanging them. Let's give them one more than that. It's just the fact that that it was, you know, 2 to the 16th power or 64,000 or 64K.
That's crazy to me. All right. Well done, everybody involved, except for me when I said you got it wrong and kicked her out. Daryl, let's you play a game with us. Oh, Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Find him there and at thisweekintrek@thisweekintrek.com. Play your game with us now. What do you got?
I'm going to read a part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right.
What's the deal with blank?
What's the deal? I'm going to say airline food.
Okay. I'm going to say it's probably airline food. What's the deal with... I'm gonna go a little more specific and say, what's the deal with airline peanuts?
Oh, come on now.
I've heard an actual stand-up from Jerry Seinfeld where he says, what's the deal with airline peanuts?
Yeah, great. It's getting really, really hard pulling you on my coattails all this time, Scott.
I know. I know. It's going to be rough. So I'm going to say peanuts. Brian says food.
It's the airline food.
What does Daryl say?
And the number one query, it's not what I say. The number one query results on YouTube is... What's the deal with Pepsi?
Oh.
With Pepsi, huh?
Oh, because of the whole, probably that Pepsi commercial, that latest stupid thing that with Kylie Jenner.
Oh, probably, right,
One of those Jenner Kardashian people in it. I don't know what the deal is with that. I never saw, did I see? Yeah, I did see that ad. It's dumb. Don't see it. Hey, look, everybody. I got this right here. Time for the news brought to you by
the Heck Yeah Comics podcast. This week, David and Nick talk all about the launch of DC's newest event with Dark Days, The Forge. Listen in to find out what this big event could mean for the DC universe, as well as who Batman has locked up in the Batcave. They also talk about the Black Panther trailer, Sony's Spider-Man game, and much, much more. Find it at heckyeahcomics.com or wherever you get your shows.
Nice. I have some Trump news, but it's not political.
Okay, good. Yep. I like that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, me too. So here's the deal. Trump orders the government to stop working on the Y2K bug 17 years later after Y2K. Why was this the thing we were still working on?
I did not even realize they were still... What are they still trying to figure out?
I don't know whether or not the systems would all go down, and they didn't. So why are they still looking? I don't know. But here's the details. The Trump administration announced Thursday it would eliminate dozens of paperwork requirements for federal agencies, including an obscure rule that requires them to continue providing updates on their preparedness for a bug that afflicted some computers at the turn of the century. As another example, the Pentagon will be freed from a requirement that it file a report every time a small business vendor is paid, a task that consumes some 1,200 man hours every year.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I like this kind of wasted time elimination stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I got no problem with any of this, and this seems like a dumb one. Why would you still have your... Why would you have to report Y2K preparedness?
You know, there's just some schmuck who's just sitting there doing it, saying, well, we've always done it. I guess I just continue to do this.
Yeah. It's 17 years of doing it. It's multiple generations of employees doing it. Like, it's probably just standard procedure now, but don't be doing that anymore. So I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, but here goes. I agree with this Trump initiative. I'm all about eliminating waste, so do it. I know sometimes sometimes you have to argue about what waste is, and that's when you get into the nitty gritty. But I think we can all agree the Y2K bug reporting thing, you're done. It's over.
Yeah.
We passed
it. And 1,200 man hours every year is 100 hours a month, which means 3 hours, or no, actually more than that, 3 hours a day if this person was, or 3 man hours a day if this person was doing 30 days a month, but it's more like 20 days a month, so it's even more than that.
Hold on, calculate. That seems high, doesn't it? Hold on. So if we do 3 days, let's say we do 3 hours a month times 30, so the average match is 30 months. That's 90 hours a month. So 90 times 20. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Yeah.
Someone's spending 3 hours of their day. Well, I mean, it's spread out, obviously.
Who knows how big that team is.
Right, but even if it's 15 minutes per person into however many people that is, that's still stupid.
I mean, okay, so I'm guessing it just seems ridiculous that we have to worry about this 17 years later, but I can understand, like, well, we just got to make sure that your payment processing system is in place to not screw up if we send you a check. But I think if it's 17 years and it hasn't been a problem, we probably don't need to to do that anymore. You'd know better than we would.
Yeah. Right? When the Y32K thing comes, then you can talk about this again. But right now,
is that like a beer? Is beer going to be Y32K? You mean just Y3K?
Yeah, well, that's what I meant. Why did I say Y23K?
Y32K. That's making sure your Coors works on December 31st.
Well, it's an important thing. Keep it in mind, America. A man, got a story about a man here, got $100 million in a water bill.
Holy cow.
Yeah, this is a problem. Kieran Healy's water bill for the month totaled $100 million plus. That's a little more than he usually pays. can I pay in installments? He asked the Orange Water and Sewer Authority on Tuesday. or on Wednesday, rather. He asked it on Twitter.
That orange water is way more expensive than the clear stuff, though.
Oh, man, but it's so citrus refreshing.
So tasty. Just put a glass under the faucet and get a tasty glass of orange juice anytime you want. Actually, it's probably more like the orange water that you get at McDonald's. That isn't quite orange juice. It's just orange drink.
Yeah, and it's not carbonated. It just tastes like flat. Right.
It's just flat. It's flat crush. It's crushed flat.
Yeah, crushed flat. There you go. Well said. The bill itself was $189, but the place screwed up and added the service fee of $99 million, adding his total to more than $100 million. It was supposed to be like $99, so they screwed up. Wow. And the Healy guy was just like, "Well, can I pay?" Like, he was nervous. Like, oh, what do I do? Like, he genuinely called to ask what's going on, and they said, oh, we screwed up. So, good on them, I suppose. But I'd be pissed if I got a bill for that much. A man sets underwear on fire and evacuates a Modesto Walgreens as a result.
Liar.
Yeah. You have to call him a liar. Liar, liar. Yeah. Pants on fire.
Later, he was seen hanging by his butt from a telephone wire.
Yep, there you go. News at 11. Modesto Walgreens was briefly evacuated. Briefly. Brief. Get it? Brief.
Briefly. Do you think that was intestinal? Do you think that was intentional?
I think it was intestinal, actually. they were briefly evacuated Saturday morning after a man set his underwear on fire in the bathroom. The man, 45-year-old Andrew Cheadle, Don Cheeto, was arrested or caught and arrested on 2 felony warrants out of Sacramento, but not charged with arson due to the reason he lit his pants on fire. Steve Hinckley said he had an accident and was trying to get his underwear off, but couldn't. So he tried to get a lighter to burn them off. What manner of accident did you have where you tried to burn your underwear off?
Yeah, there's a big leap from, oh, it was an accident, to I burned my underwear off.
Yeah, something's funky about that.
There's a few steps missing in that pictogram.
Cheadle, so here's what happened. It's 9:20 a.m., so it was in the morning. Cheadle threw the burning underwear in the toilet, which quickly extinguished the fire, but the smoke filled the bathroom, prompting an evacuation of the store. Cheadle left the store, admitting to several employees that he started the fire, then headed south on Carver and Modesto. Fire Department Battalion Chief Randy Anderson. Oh, he just reports that. Cheadle was found in a nearby neighborhood on Otis Avenue and Sheldon Drive. I don't know. This must be a very local story to this area. They just don't explain why he set his underwear on fire.
Here's how I'm reading that second paragraph. He said he'd had an accident and was trying to get his underwear off, but couldn't. So he used a lighter to burn them off. So he like pooped his pants.
I don't know.
And I think he pooped his pants. He threw the underwear in the toilet and then tried to set it on fire to hide the evidence.
All right, let's see.
Or maybe he threw it in the trash can.
Well, he says he threw the burning underwear into the toilet.
Right.
They just don't. This is irritating. They give nothing in this story on the Modesto B, whatever that is.
It does sound like he did have his underwear off at the time. So he had an accident. Oh, there's pants. Then he pulled the underwear off, was trying to hide the evidence, so he set them on fire, thought, oh, I can't throw this in the trash can now.
Oh, you've
done
it.
Threw it in the toilet, and...
You've done it. You're like Bosch. You're Bosch.
Bosch. Which means I would have picked up the underwear with a couple of pencils to hold it up. And
you just reenacted the best episode of The Wire I ever saw. Well done. Final news. Jersey Jang Janowitz says hamburger and gets a point penalty. I don't know who this is, but it's that's a tennis dude. Jersey Janowicz.
Jersey Janowitz.
Anyway,
it's just pronounced Janowitz.
The first round match against Russian Andrew Knutsatov, who says changing his last name is too much hassle. So the world number 155 Jersey Jankowitz said was reading the sign at the back of the court that said hamburger. In that moment, an unexpected thing happened. The umpire gave him a point penalty due to audible obscenity, according to the referee. He was doing some sort of junk food persuasion. What does that mean? Which is not allowed.
It was my favorite Tommy James and the Shondell song.
Junk food persuasion.
Persuasion.
The Polish player also spoke for a few minutes with the tournament supervisor. There's nothing he could do, but that wasn't the only strange morning of the week. Let's see. Boarded a game penalty to Bryden Klein, who called himself a stupid person. Boy, I guess you're just not supposed to say anything when you're playing.
Golly. Yeah, that seems crazy. So...
Thanks a lot.
By saying
what's
hamburger,
his name?
Is the ref saying that no, you were trying to make the other player think of hamburgers and therefore be distracted of playing the game?
Yeah, I think so.
Obscenity. I mean, in no part of the world, I think is hamburger the word hamburger considered an obscenity.
I don't think so either. I think this is all like straight up. Like, how do I put this? This is like McEnroe did this to us. McEnroe said so many
it's
terrible
all
things
McEnroe
on court.
Fallout?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because why would you have a rule about somebody saying hamburger when McEnroe in his time was saying all the stuff he used to say? Like, he used to say terrible things to the refs. And they wouldn't penalize him. So they must have had some rules changes. I'm not saying it's just him. But, you know, he seems like a good example because McEnroe was kind of a dick to everybody.
I think, there's video. Captain Kipper just posted video of it in the chat room. I think if I said hamburger... And then the referee said, no, I'm sorry, that's a point penalty. Then you'd start hearing the obscenities.
Yeah, exactly. Here, let's turn this up.
All right.
I think there is no audio. Why? All right. So he plays a little tennis. All right, a little more tennis.
Speed, let's head it up.
All right, another... I don't know what they're waiting for. They're showing us all the tennis. Okay, more tennis here, Jim. Okay, when does he say hamburger?
Captain Kipper says it's the last video. Are you on the last video of the page?
I thought I was. Oh, no. Here we go. Okay.
Yes!
Oh, no, that's the guy calling himself a... It's him calling himself the stupid person.
Right.
And that's the different guy, though.
And that was Stan Lee going, you silly person!
What's this one?
Oh, there it
is. I love a hamburger. All right, well, there you
Point penalty. Yum.
Yum. Well done. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Talk about a brand new sponsor. We'll be right back. All right, you guys have heard of Pitney Bowes, right? If you haven't, where have you been? They've been around forever, since like the 20s, the early 1900s. I think they know a lot about shipping and stamps and working with the United States Postal Service. I guarantee that they have. Well, SendPro has three times the features of Stamps.com at one-third the price. I'm so excited about this. Print stamps from your computer, saving time and money. There is no special equipment necessary. No more waiting in lines at the post office. Here at Frog Pants Central, I have to ship stuff all the time, both from here and from our offices out east. Can I tell you how much easier these things are because of a product like SendPro? If you compare shipping rates and delivery times between the United States Postal Service and other major carriers to ensure you get the best deal when you ship your packages, it's all right there at your fingertips. Print paid shipping labels for USPS, UPS, and more. Track your shipments from the same to use or same easy to use interface. Piece of cake. It's right there in front of you. Pitney Bowes has negotiated special rates for SendPro users. Savings start at like 3 cents per stamp. It's ridiculous. Businesses can even mail now and pay later with flexible payment options. Now, here's the deal. If you visit pb.com/TMS to learn more and you sign up for a SendPro free account for 90 days, you get a free 90-day trial. You'll get a 10-pound scale for free. And when your free trial is over, you get SendPro for only $5 a month. Now, that is a special rate, good for the lifetime of your SendPro subscription. There's no expiration to it. It's not an introductory price that changes 3 months down the road. None of that. As long as you keep that subscription, it's only $5. Compare that to $15.99 for Stamps.com. That's three times the features, one-third the price. And I'm not kidding. Lifetime price. You just keep that subscription and you're good. But you only get this deal for a limited time by going to pb.com/TMS. That's pb.com/TMS. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Do it today. We are... Steven Schleicher gonna be all up in this biznatch, so come on back for him, and we'll talk more. But before that, a song of some kind. You got something there? What do you got
there? I have a song of some kind. I'm really, really digging this. So this is from a brand new album called Genus Equus by the Music Therapy Experiment. You've got multi-instrumentalist John Klein, who's on guitar, bass, keyboards, and vocals, and Mark Christensen, who's on drums, bass, and keyboards, team up for an album that combines musical artistry with technical wizardry. Could not agree more. This is so cool. And it's an instrumental piece. It is, I'm going to be listening to a lot more of this. It's Mozart's Earworm, performed by the Music Therapy Experiment.
All right, here it is. We'll be right back.
Thank you. there's a little rough and tumble for you. But even in motion pictures, if you were to have a man fighting for his life every 5 minutes or so, it'd seem a little bloodthirsty. Well, in real life, every 5 minutes, one American is attacked by tuberculosis.
That's one cold fish I'd love to thaw.
This is the Morning Stream. Hail Hydra!
All right, we got some breaking news. I wonder if I should save it for
when Daryl comes on Wednesday?
Maybe, or for Steven today.
Can we pull Daryl in just to talk about this tomorrow morning?
Yeah, you know what? We are going to do that. Tomorrow morning, big Trek news. Don't read the internet until then, everybody.
That's right. Keep it a secret, y'all.
Keep it a secret. Don't spoil yourselves, okay? I'm sure you can hold back. Let's get Steven up in this biznatch by playing his introductory song, which I can't find. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, the one, the only, the Mr. Steven Schleicher. Hello.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm fine, man. How are you?
Good. How are you?
It's Monday.
I'm going to see you in like a week and a half until we see you, dude.
I know, right?
Yeah. I'm excited. Your team's looking pretty solid for...
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like...
I think all four teams are looking pretty solid. It is a good... I feel like there's some good decoupage.
The teams are evenly spread out.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, and we haven't grouped people up by their usual
alliances.
The
teams are equally decoupage.
Yeah, that's right. Right, like you know, you look at the your team, Steven, mm-hmm. and it's you and Tom. Right. Neither you two don't do a show together of any sort.
No, we don't. Mm-hmm.
John Jaeger, you and John and Tom and John don't do a show together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Jocelyn Moffat, and she doesn't do a show with any of the three of you. So it's a team of people who know each other. Mm-hmm. But can't use any sort of secret language with each other.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Whose team am I on again? Run down mine again. Who am I?
It's you, Bo Schwartz. Yeah, you guys do have a show together. There's some of these I just couldn't avoid.
Yeah.
You're kind of in a show with everybody, Scott. Let's just face it.
I know. I don't count in this way. There's no way you can do it.
Paul Sabourin of Paul and Storm and Garrett Weinzerpel.
Oh yeah, Zerpel. Me and Zerpel. Okay. Yeah, we got this. We're good. We got this.
Yeah.
We're the dark horse, I think. We're going to be the quiet little team that creeps up on everybody and freaks them out. As much as Jerry thinks they've got it all locked in with him, Terpster, and Patrick.
And Bill Duran. Yeah, it's funny because, again, none of those four do a show together. And it's, I guess Terpster and Patrick do the instance.
Yeah, they do the instance together now. And they used to do other things together as well.
Well, here's a secret. There won't be any Warcraft questions in the... in the game.
Darn
so
it.
There you go.
All right. Well, looking forward to it regardless. Steven, good luck with your team. Let's dive into some of this stuff.
Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah.
It's going to be good.
We'll do fine.
Yeah. You guys will do fine. I'm not worried about you. So I saw something really cool on Twitter. I'm glad you're bringing it up here. Disney's going to honor Jack Kirby at this year's D23 Expo. That seems like a long time coming. It's about freaking time. It would have been nice if Marvel would have been more acknowledgmentable about him for years and years and years, but I think this is great. So tell us about it. What's going on?
So if people don't know kind of the controversy between Jack Kirby and Marvel, at one point, Kirby created everything at Marvel. Of course, it was credited with Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Jack created with Joe Simon, Captain America, and then with Stan Lee, he created the Avengers, the Hulk, Thor, Iron Man, Silver Surfer, Ant-Man, Wasp, Black Panther, S.H.I.E.L.D., the Inhumans, Fantastic Four. Right. Problem comes is that under this way of creating comics, the Marvel way or the Marvel method, Stan would send just a brief idea to Jack and say, I got this idea where the Fantastic Four are going to fight God. And then Jack Kirby would go and he would write the Fantastic Four fighting Galactus for the very first time, this big story. And he would plot it all out. He'd put in all the pages and the word balloons and where things would go. And sometimes would even say, hey, maybe it would be good if the dialogue was here. And then Stan would go back in and write all the dialogue in for the balloons.
Oh, wow. So he would have preset balloons and would only have those spaces to work
in. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that caused a lot of controversy, especially when Stan would go out and kind of talk a little bit more about how he created these and how he worked creatively with Jack. And Jack would be like, not really, this isn't the way it went. Mm-hmm. And there was a huge falling out between Jack Kirby and Stan Lee and Marvel Comics that was maybe kind of a good thing, because Jack Kirby did go on to create the New Gods over at DC Comics, which was totally awesome.
Oh, I forgot that was him. I've totally forgot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go back and look at the early New Gods stuff. Mm. That is brilliant. There's a 4-volume collection of Kirby's New Gods. That's just brilliant.
Yeah. Now, you know that now, you know that one thing I love about Jack Kirby is every once in a while it'll show up his drawing station. Mm-hmm. And he's not in it, but it's like his table and there's stuff everywhere. It is the most like hardcore ink and pencil smudges, like stuff everywhere. It's clear that there was like work. He did work there, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the equivalent of like a horrible bathroom, except not, you know, it's obviously not gross, but it's like
when you look at that image, it's like, my God, where did Jack Kirby live? Did he live in some slum somewhere because of the way that picture is taken? But yeah, he just worked nonstop. Or
even more so, it just makes you think he lived in that position. Like he never went anywhere else but right hunched over that desk. I've always been just fascinated by him. Anyway, I interrupted. Continue on.
So Jack Kirby passed away in 1994, but he was inducted into the Eisner Hall of Fame. In fact, he was the first person to be inducted into the Eisner Hall of Fame. But now Disney is going to honor Jack with this Disney Legends Award, which is something they've been doing, I want to say, since the 80s. Mm. But now Stan Lee's already been inducted, and a bunch of course, the animators and whatnot at Disney. But it's nice that they're finally giving Jack some notice to say, hey, we probably wouldn't have spent $4 billion to buy up Marvel had it not been for Jack Kirby.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate that, I mean, I wonder if his estate or his family sees this as like, well, all right, why don't you put your money where your mouth is, Disney, and throw us some cash, you know?
Because it might be interesting, but I think that those lawsuits have already passed.
Yeah, that stuff's come and gone. We're in the legal aftermath of all of that. Mm-hmm. All right, well, if you're into collecting, did you know that you can get a complete R2-D2 assembled from the original movie parts? Did you know that?
This is a like crazy auction.
Does it smell like Kenny Baker?
Does it smell like Kenny Baker?
just can't beat that new Kenny Baker smell inside your R2-D2.
That's right.
So what's the deal with this, and how can I get it? Because I'd like one.
Well, good luck, Scott. Yeah. First of all, what they've done is someone has gone through and found original parts that were used for R2-D2 in the making of all of the Star Wars movies except for the most recent one. Mm-hmm. And they've built this R2-D2 out of those parts. So you might have a part from, you know, the headpiece might be from episode 5, Return of the Jedi, but then you might have the legs coming from episode 1. So this is all original part stuff. This isn't like molds or castings or anything like that. Mm-hmm. This is going up on auction in a couple of weeks. And my guess is, Scott, you don't have $1 million lying around, because that's what the starting price is going to be on this auction.
I don't.
And the auction block expects this to go up to $2 million.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, I don't have that kind of cash laying around. I really just don't. So
If you do want a life-size R2-D2, though, Sideshow Collectibles does have their life-size model collection, and I believe that you can get the R2-D2 there for about $10,000.
Oh, there you go.
Now, it's a replica, but it still lights up, and its head turns, and all those cool things. So, only
$10,000. Can it shoot a lightsaber across the room to me in there? Or?
No, probably not. Sorry.
Oh. Can it scream when its feet are touched by
I don't remember water? If the Sideshow ones have the built-in... audio sounds or not, although if you do belong to the Droid Builders group, you can actually go out and build your own R2 unit for around $6,000.
Mm. The Droid Builder unit.
And that will be a whole radio controlled system and all that stuff.
So why it's the original trilogy in episodes 1 and 2, why not episode 3? I know some of the stuff was probably CGI in episode 3.
Probably.
But they still had a practical.
There could also be the thing that maybe they had this built.
Just
And it's just been sitting around someone's house. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, what's your theory on the episode 1 on repeat at the Japanese sushi place? Why do you think that's happening? Did you hear this part of the show?
I've heard you talk about that story. I didn't hear you talk about it earlier today, but I've heard you talk about that story. My guess is that, are you sure it wasn't just regular television?
Yeah.
And it wasn't some, 24 hours of Star Wars or something.
Okay, that's actually...
And that was the only channel that they had it on?
That's actually a good point. I don't know. I mean, I never saw any commercials in the hour or so we were there. Okay. and it was an hour of the movie that went by. But then again, I wasn't exactly staring at it the entire time. So it's entirely possible they've got just some,
There weren't a couple of kids that were the kids of the owners that just were sitting around watching this to keep them quiet.
That's also possible. I didn't see any of them. The way that this TV's right behind the sushi bar where they're all back there making stuff. So I don't know. Why there's even a TV there, I don't know. Like, the whole thing.
People come in, want to watch their sports while they're eating their sushi.
Yeah, but over the heads of the people. I guess at the bar it'd be good because there is a sushi bar where you sit. Yeah. But nobody was there. Anyway, I don't know. Just episode one with blaring K-pop. This is very strange. Stephen.
It actually works better that way.
Yeah. Stephen first passed away. Tell us why we should be sad about this. I mean, I know I have like multiple reasons why I'm sad, but. To nerd fans, he's got stuff.
Yeah, if you're old school like us, then you remember Stephen Furst as a Flounder from Animal House.
Yeah.
And also from St. Elsewhere, if you remember him from that. But a lot of people got into and knew Stephen Furst from Babylon 5 because he played the assistant diplomat or whatever, Veer.
Mm-hmm.
And that series ran for a long time, and a lot of people know him probably more... maybe a generation younger than us probably know him more from Babylon 5 than from the other places. But he passed away this weekend. Complications, I believe, from diabetes is what they said.
Yeah.
But if people are looking for some Babylon 5 comics, you can find individual issues of... now I lost my email that I sent to you. What's the title of that one?
It is called In Valen's Name.
Yeah, and Valen's name.
Sorry, Valen's name. Yep.
Yeah, this is supposedly the best Babylon 5 graphic novel story. It's written by J. Michael Straczynski, who's done a lot of great comic book stuff and has written a lot of the Babylon 5 stuff. And so it's really solid. You can find the individual issues on eBay or maybe a quarter bin at a comic book store. But apparently the trade paperback has skyrocketed in price. I don't know if this has happened just because of his passing or if it was already this way. But I went on to Amazon looking for a trade paperback of this, and it was $500 for a trade paperback. So it's very hard to find. But if you're looking for the individual issues of that, go check that out. In Valen's Name. It was a miniseries. I believe it's 6 issues long. And maybe that's a way you can get some Babylon 5 Stephen Furst action in your day.
This guy did a ton of work in the 80s. He stopped working about 06. Doesn't say why, but... He did a few TV movies. Kind of things were winding down for him then. But I'll never forget that face, that chubby little goofball face from and St. Elsewhere is great on that as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, St. Elsewhere. Oh, what a great show that was.
It was a great show. Yeah.
It's ahead of its
time. Howie Mandel.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Look who's in that. Howie Mandel. Guy's name I always forget.
Stephen Furst.
Yeah. Well, not him. the guy that was in The Rock with. We played Washington. David Morse. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
David Morse is amazing. Oh, he's always so good. Denzel.
Yep, Denzel Washington. Mark
Ed Begley
Harmon.
Ed Begley Jr.,
Mark Harmon, and I forget the lady. She's not the one that went on to do other things, I guess. But anyway. Well, there you have it. and the older doctor was the voice of Kit. He was also the head doctor of the hospital there, but he was the voice of Kit. Hello, Michael.
Foresight.
Yeah, that guy.
Yep.
Anyway,
Daniels was in there. Alfre Woodard.
They had such a great cast. It was such a good show.
Yeah, and it was way ahead of its time, I think.
Probably more so because of the way it ended too, as far as being ahead of its time.
Yep.
The secret, like the final scene.
The Westfall. There's a whole universe that has been built around the ending of St. Elsewhere.
Yeah.
I forget what the kid's name was. Is it Johnny Westfall? I forget what his name is.
Hmm.
But you can go look up this Westfall theory because someone went and said, have you ever noticed that there are all these actors that start appearing in all of these other shows? Like, for example, Cheers. There's an episode where two of the doctors from St. Elsewhere actually come in one of the opening skits for Cheers.
Oh, wow.
And so people are like, okay, so the Cheers universe resides in this kid's imaginary mind universe. And then there's this whole, they've mapped it out of like almost everything you've ever known and loved.
Really?
Is part of the Tommy Westfall universe is what it is. Do a search for that.
What?
It's a fantastic map, and it will blow your mind as you start to see more and more shows start to pop up and say, oh, well, this is all product of this kid's imagination.
Look at that. Oh, that
sorry. It ruined the end of St. Elsewhere.
That is, that is a crazy map, too. It looks like it's done on a nightmare spreadsheet, but...
By the way, it's streaming on Hulu, so you can go watch all the seasons of St. Elsewhere on Hulu.
Yeah, one of the great shows ever. Way ahead of its time. Totally worth watching. Finally, very hard to find the trade paperback, but... this is not a separate thing. That's the other thing. So, dang it. You know what I may do? I may bring Daryl in right now.
Might as well,
because I want you to. I want you to comment on this. So hold on, let's get Daryl in here.
I
want to
get the story up on Major Spoilers already.
Oh, cool. All right, let's talk about it.
Yeah, we may as well. So here comes Daryl, bringing him in, and we'll talk about a little Star Trek here because this is breaking news. Oh, it's already up. Yeah, you're right. It is on your site. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, I am.
Oh, good. We're gonna do this now. Daryl and Steven are both on the line with us. So this just came through. Official Star Trek Discovery premiere is now dated for Sunday, September 24th at 8:30 Eastern Time on CBS.
Yep.
Does that jive with...
No, that's totally accurate.
Oh, it is accurate. Okay.
That's from the press release. Now, the one thing that I would say is don't set your DVRs for that time or add about 2 hours onto that because that's NFL Sunday. Mm. And there's a good chance your shows may be delayed.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah, games go long. That'll screw that up potentially anyway. So
I think they should cancel the game instead. Delay the game. Literally.
For clarification, though, the show is still going to go like episode 2 and forward is all going to just be on their app, not the channel, right?
Right. So the premiere episode is on CBS that they're going to broadcast, you know, worldwide or whatever. And then every episode after that, there's 15 episodes in the season, will be available only on the CBS All Access app.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. It says here, first 8 episodes. Season would be the image of it.
That's the other thing is they're breaking this into two separate chapters where the first 8 will run from September 24th to November 5th. And then the series will then pick up in January and run the final episodes.
Well, aren't they stretching this thing way out? Jeez, Louise. Right. Why are they doing that? Other conflicts? Or are they just, I don't know.
I don't know why, because it's on the app. And I think, and again, personally, and Daryl will probably chime in too. I think that CBS is still thinking in terms of television and not digital app watching, because if you think about a normal season, most television shows take their fall break around November and then pick up again in mid-January because of all the things that are going on. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the only reason why. Mm.
Well, yeah, Daryl, thoughts on this? How are you feeling about the whole thing?
That sounds right to me. Mm.
Do you think September cool? Are you down with that?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't think that's...
I think they're making the shows. They're turning out good, I guess, and so I think that's good timing.
Anybody watching? So Brian Fuller, of course, show running over there at the American Gods deal on Stars, right?
Stars. Mm-hmm.
So I've been watching it. It's one of my favorite books of all time. I'm still kind of jury's out on the show for me, even though I'm 3 or 4 in. I'm still not sure whether I like the show or not. I think I kind of do. Has anybody else been watching it consistently?
I have not. I'm waiting for the first season to be done and then I'll binge it.
Exactly. Yeah, I already spent my money on Showtime to be able to watch Twin Peaks, so I'm going to wait and then do Stars after that's all wrapped up.
So the reason I bring this up is the Fuller connection, obviously, but also I have this theory about why Sense8 went away, and I'm a little worried about this show because it has a bad case of what I call TMB, which is too much boning.
Well,
there's a lot of boning
now. So I haven't seen the show, but in like second chapter of American Gods with Bilquis in there, they go and do a lot of explicit detail in there.
They do.
Then there's the cab driver and the genie.
No, they have moments. No question. The book has got its moments, but this is a lot. I've read that book 3 times and love it. It's one of my favorite books, but this thing is, hey guys, we're on Stars, and so our goal should be to bone all the time. Like we're like HBO, but let's just jack it up 30% and let's have boning all the time. So I don't know. I just think that can outdo your... I think that can undermine your show a little bit, just a little bit. And it's just too much.
I heard it was going away because it was too expensive.
What, Sense8?
Yeah.
Sense8 is going away. Absolutely, it's going away because it's too expensive. But why is it going away because it's too expensive? Because the audience isn't big enough to justify the cost, right?
Right.
If yeah, it made more
money,
true.
If it made more money, it wouldn't seem so expensive.
Exactly. So if they were, and I think if Sense8 was just less interested in constant boning and more interested in storytelling and like character development.
Teenagers.
Well, no, I don't think that shows for teens, though, is it? Are these shows meant for teens?
Boning? Like, I don't know.
Well,
what about Game of Thrones? That's all that was.
Well, Game of Thrones has a fair amount of boning, but it's less boning percentage-wise compared to other. Like, there's more. Here's the.
I mean, no, if I were still in education, I could write a whole paper on the amount of boning going on.
I'm just saying, if you watch Game of Thrones, the percentage of boning to regular story is pretty small, despite the fact that it has its moments of, you know, excessive boning. It's not the same. It's not a huge quantity. You wouldn't walk in there and go, oh, well, easily 50% of all episodes time spent in Game of Thrones is boning. Because it's not, that wouldn't be accurate. But I'm telling you right now, in Sense8, it's like 50-50. It's like boning, 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 a little bit of story. Look what this lady said. Boning, 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 some more boning, and how about boning? Like, that's how that show went. And I know there are people out there who really like it, and I think that the concept is awesome. Too much boning. Anyway.
Well, there, as you said, or somebody said, the cost may have become too prohibitive. There was actually an article, I don't remember if it was on Forbes or where I saw it, but they were talking about, is Netflix in trouble because they're spending too much on all of their original programming, and that's burning away their big treasure cache of money for all these shows that they're producing.
Maybe.
And so maybe they're preemptively cutting some shows that are too expensive in favor of things like the Stranger Things and other stuff.
Yeah, but I'm telling you right now, if Sense8 had the zeitgeist was popular to a level that made sense, they'd keep making it, because that meant they know their numbers better than anyone, and they don't share them, is the sad thing. But you know, Stranger Things probably made a bigger splash for them. I'll bet people signed up for Netflix just to see what this whole hubbub about Stranger Things was. But nobody sat around going, oh, Sense8, what do you got going this week? Boning? Sweet, let me get in there. It's a lot of boning. Anyway, That's it though. Star Trek, it's happening. So I think we're all excited. September can't come quick enough, because I just need some closure on this. I need to know if it's good, so I can either
probably
just
won't be a lot of boning on Star Trek either. I'm guessing
no, probably less boning.
There better not be.
Yeah.
Oh, that premiere episode of was it Enterprise?
Enterprise had boning.
Come to the ready room.
Meet me in my ready room.
All hands on. Never mind. I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah, Earl Grey is an actual guy, and it's hot. Anyway, there you go. Daryl, thanks for popping in here and talking about Star Trek. Have a great day. Steven, anything else going on in your world that you'd like to mention before we go?
There are some really cool announcements going on today. Today is the day where it looks like all the publishers are releasing their comics for September. Mm-hmm. And there are some really cool things popping up over the next couple of hours, including a Gail Simone written Aaron Lopresti Wonder Woman Conan crossover with DC Comics and Dark Horse Comics. So that's really cool. So we'll see some more stuff coming up between today and tomorrow, because today is DC, tomorrow will be Marvel.
I like Gail Simone a lot.
People want to know what's coming up. Check out the
anything
site.
She does, I get stoked about.
Oh, it's really good. Really good stuff.
Also, in light of Adam West's passing, there's a really great image that what's his name did. Alec Ross. Alec Ross.
Mm-hmm.
It is...
Alex Ross, sorry.
It is awesome. It's this great shot of like Adam West style, you know, scene. He does everything in watercolor, and it's all very realistic and everything, if you don't know who Alex Ross is. But the there's this point where he punches the Joker, and the Joker is, of course, Cesar Romero, and has the mustache in the painting. It's amazing. Yeah. I want a print of this thing on my wall. It is so cool. So I just wanted to mention that. That was
one of Adam West's final... acting jobs was with Powerless, the canceled NBC show.
Yeah,
they canceled that with three episodes remaining. The final episode of the season features Adam West in it as a person who's working for Wayne Corps. And DC Comics has released that entire episode online. I think it's for a limited time. So if you want to watch it, it's actually pretty good. Mm. But go over to the DC Entertainment page over on YouTube, and it's right there, and you can watch that final episode.
So generally speaking, people liked Powerless. It just wasn't big enough audience for him.
yes and no. I mean, it was very problematic for the first couple of episodes because they were trying to find their footing. Mm-hmm. And then it started to gel up and it started to get much, much better towards the end. Although I think some of the humor is still over the top humor. Mm-hmm. It's not subtle humor. And so I think that's kind of what put some people off, but it's a solid show. All the actors are in it are really good. It just didn't go the places where NBC thought it would go with numbers, so they canceled it.
Hmm. All right. And before, by the way, I get a flood of emails saying that Sensei didn't have enough boning or whatever your thing is going to be, I'm just going to say this.
Didn't have enough boning.
At some point, if your show has more boning than acting, you're basically a Skinemax late night special. Like, you may as well just go be that then. Go be a cheesy... Sort of softcore porn
yeah. with a little bit of story to loosely hold it all together.
Yeah, there might be a little story to say, oh, he's a secret agent. He's here hiding, bone. You know? Like,
right.
I don't get that. Anyway, hey, Steven, it's always a pleasure. Major Spoilers on Twitter. You can also find him at majorspoilers.com, and you'll see him here at Nerdtacular in a mere week and a half. It is always a pleasure, Steven. Have a great day, man.
Bone, 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 bone.
Bone, bone. Bone, 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 bone. All right.
The new NBC. Bone, bone, bone.
Who owns Stars? Is that an NBC station? Who owns Stars? Just curious.
I think so.
Lionsgate owns Stars.
Oh.
Interesting.
But so it's not part Lionsgate? Of one of our big three or big four, really.
Who owns Lionsgate?
Who owns Bartertown?
Lionsgate is owned by Lionsgate. All right. Well, there you go.
Let's try this. Alexa, who owns Bartertown?
Did she answer?
She didn't answer.
Let me try it. Alexa, who owns Bartertown? Oh, she didn't answer either.
Huh. Weird. Like, strangely silent.
Who owns
Bartertown?
Aww. You know, Siri, you rely too much on the my web search turned up.
Yeah, fix that, Apple. And listeners, sorry if we just triggered every device, smart device in your house. By the way, okay, Google, who owns Bartertown? There we go.
Yeah.
Now it's fair.
Okay, Google. Wait. Who owns Bartertown? Here goes.
Here's a matching video.
Okay. They gave me a video. Let's see what it says. Oh, it's from... literally from Thunderdome.
Well, sure. If you're not going to give us the answer, that is probably the best way to answer that question.
Yeah, plus the answer is Master Blaster, and we all know it. Quick email that we got from Jeff Lukak.
Lusak.
He gave us a pronunciation.
I know, he even says, everybody mistakes it as Lukak.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine why. I'm always on a delay since my work schedule changes all the time. But if you haven't gotten an answer yet, you can't pee through your skin. Okay, this is me talking about pee coming out of my skin when I was in Mississippi. Short answer, sweat is made of a small amount of pee, but a minuscule amount and relatively constant at an extremely low level. Sweat cannot be used as an alternative disposal route for urine. If kidneys fail and you don't make pee, then it builds up in your blood and you will get sick. The long answer is urine is named urea, which is a nitrogen-containing compound, blah, 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 blah. The point is, if you have kidney failure, you're no longer making urine. You just get dehydrated and you die. You don't suddenly pee out of your arms. So he cleared that up.
Wow.
Thank you, Jeff Lusak. He's a physician assistant in the Boston emergency room. I think he'd know. You know, he's got people running
in
there.
Maybe you were smelling the small trace of urea.
I wasn't even smelling it. It wasn't even a smell thing. It was just, I looked at my arm and it was all beaded up yellow.
Oh.
That's the only reason I thought it was pee.
Was it your bronzer? It was getting washed off?
All right. You know my secret now. It's out. Word's out. Anyway, thank you, Lusak. Ask your doctor if Lusak is right for you.
It's right for you.
We appreciate it.
Do not take Lusak if you're allergic to Lusak.
If you want to send an email in of similar note, you can, themorningstream@gmail.com. Don't send me any more Sensei emails. I've been taking those all week. We're over at frogpants.com/TMS. Our Patreon is at patreon.com/TMS. And by the way, Patreon just updated a bunch of stuff, so go check that out and see if that is something you'd like as patrons. We're curious what your feedback is. It's not us doing that, but they did, and I'm curious how people feel about it. I think it's pretty cool, the stuff they've done. So let's see what else. Frogpants.com/TMS. I mentioned it. All our contact details are there, so check that out. Our Reddit is frogpants.reddit.com. That twill do it for today. Brian, we should leave with a song, and then tomorrow we'll be back, Justin and all that. So come back for that tomorrow.
The usual cast of Gang of Tuesday Idiots. Mm-hmm. Is that the phrase from Mad Magazine?
That's the one.
I'm doing two requests today, or two emails for the same song. I love this. Nuana said, "Dear Sodium and Bromine, or Bromine, Bromine.
Bromine.
TMS has been the soundtrack, but it's Bromide, right?"
Oh, I don't know. Is it?
Bromine and Bromide. That's what messes me up. "TMS has been the soundtrack to my life as it has changed dramatically in the past few years. I've been a listener since the beginning, and in this time, I've gone from teaching to having my daughter alone by choice to going back to school and getting my master's degree and moving to the other end of the country. On Monday, the 19th of June, I will defend my master's thesis. It would be great if you could play something about starting something new around that date. And we love Scooters. Love the show, though. Nuana."
Oh, she has been around since the beginning. Jeez.
She has. Mm. Also, Dan Anderson wrote in, said, "It's my birthday today. I've also just been let go, read fired from my job. So I'd like to make an ironic request for Muse's cover of Feeling Good. I love this cover and it actually does make me feel good. So it would be great if you could play it for me on this shittiest of days."
Mm. All right.
I'm sorry to hear that, Dan. So what's cool is that the song does talk about a brand new day. And so it's kind of, it fits both requests. So this is going out to both of you, both to Dan and Nuana. This is Muse's Feeling Good. It's a cover of the song by Nina Simone. Beautiful song. This you'll find on the bonus version of their Origin of Symmetry release. Here is Muse and Feeling Good.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Reeds drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. In the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom in the trees, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling
on you. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Under there is a maze of shit.